Hey, my friend. So the world is crazy right now. This war in Israel, it's October 2023. These evil, satanic Hamas guys doing evil that we haven't seen in a long time. It's just horrible. But are these the end times? Is this really end times? What does the Bible say about it? Well, let's look at that right now. So the world right now has just gone crazy, right? We see it, this war in Israel that might spread and get worse. But let's go back in history. Let's go to Emperor Hadrian in 136 AD. He changed the name of the province from Judea, which is, they didn't have an Israel at that time because it was a divided nation and Assyria took that away. But Judea was the same as that land, right? The land of Israel, to Palestina, in an attempt to erase its Jewish past. So that's where you get the word Palestine that stuck for so long, and that's where we get these people called the Palestinians. They came around after Jesus, around 136 AD, with this emperor named Hadrian who wanted to wipe Israel off of the map. That guy was very evil, very anti-Semitic. And that's what anti-Semitic is, by the way. It's just evil. So Hadrian did this horrible thing, and then he spread the Jewish people. He wanted to wipe them off the map. So what did he do? He had them sold as slaves to all the areas around the Roman Empire, all the four corners of that known world, and he had them taken out of their own land, out of their father's land. So then what happens? It's wiped off. There was no more. It was a desolate land for many, many years. And the Israelis, the Jewish people, were spread all over the world, all over the known world of that time. But what happened in 1948, my friend? In 1948, Israel was rebirthed miraculously. This was a huge miracle. And it was after the Holocaust, right? The evil, satanic Nazis that were killing the Jewish people, much like the Hamas were, and they came back after World War II in 1948, and Israel was rebirthed, and that fulfills what? Ezekiel, right? An Old Testament scripture, Ezekiel 36 and 37. Let's look at that. So in 1948, this could be, because a lot of people are saying that Psalm 83 could be today, but I believe it was in 1948 where we see these nations spelled out in Psalm 83, and this was in 1948, these nations came against Israel, trying to wipe Israel off of the map. They didn't want this Jewish country coming back because they were Muslim countries, right? So Egypt was against them, Saudi Arabia, we know that Syria, Iran, all these people came against Israel. And these are their names that were listed in Psalm 83, right? The Hagrites, the Moabites, the Edomites, the Ishmaelites, Amalek, right? The Egyptian people. So that's what we saw. That's what happened. And I think that was the fulfillment of it. However, Ezekiel 38:39, this war has never happened. But what is interesting about that is today we see Iran, which was historically Persia. You can look that up if you want. And Russia, which is the area of Magog and some of these other countries listed in Ezekiel 38, they're in alliance right now. Russia and Iran are in an alliance, an evil alliance. And that is new. That has never happened in history. And they hate Israel. Iran's behind all this crap that's going on that Hamas is doing right now against Israel. And Russia is starting to, they're in alliance with Iran. And this is an evil, evil alliance. So let's look at that presentation again. So we see this is the Ezekiel 38:39 countries. You have Magog, which is that area of Russia, Kazakhstan, some of the other stans there, right? You have Gomer, which could be parts of Germany, of Eastern Germany. Meshech, and Tubal could be Turkey. Persia, we know for sure, is Iran. Put, Libya, and Kush come from these northern African countries, Sudan, Libya, right? Maybe parts of Ethiopia, and that's what we see here. So that war has not happened yet. But Psalm 83, let's go back to this, and let's look at it closely and see how it relates to 1948, because I believe that that's the fulfillment of the war that they had when they became a nation, when Israel became a nation. It says, come and let us wipe them out as a nation so that the name of Israel will no longer be remembered. And then it's a song of a Psalm of Asaph, right? So it's not written by David, but it was written by these other writers of the Psalm. So God, do not remain quiet. Do not be silent. And God, do not be still. For behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against your people. Whose people? God's people, Israel. And conspire together against your treasured ones. I love that. Israel is God's treasured ones. They're still the apple of his eye, by the way, my friend. They have said, come, let's wipe them out as a nation. In other words, they want to push them into the sea. In fact, they were saying that. And they say it today. Those evil Hamas people are saying, push them into the sea. So that we, the name of Israel will no longer be remembered. That's what they're saying. That's what these evil people are saying. And it's a psalm, a prophetic psalm, talking about this war that happened in 1948, I believe. For they have conspired together with one mind. They make a covenant against you. Against who? Against God. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, right? That's the countries that we just pointed out, right? Moab and the Hagarites, Gabal, Ammon, and Amalek. That's the area of Jordan, right? Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre, right? Gaza and all that stuff. All those countries came against Israel. Well, let's look at the map and let's check it out. Let's see where this war was exactly. So we know Israel is right here. We know what Adrian renamed it, Palestina, and that's where we get the name Palestine, and this is why these countries were making a big uproar, right? So he wanted to wipe Israel off of the map, but I think it was later. I don't think it was Hadrian, like we just went over. That might have been a foreshadowing of what was going to come, just like Antiochus Epiphanes, right? He was a foreshadowing of the Antichrist, but he wasn't the full fulfillment. I believe in 1948, we saw the actual fulfillment of it as Israel was rebirthed, and those same countries listed in Psalm 83 were the same countries that were against it, and they lost. God miraculously saw Israel through that. But Ezekiel 36, let's take a look at this. This speaks of Israel coming back from the four corners of the world and becoming a nation again, rebirthed in 1948, right? For I will take you, God says to, this is God speaking, for I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the lands. I will bring you into your own land. This is beautiful. And they will say, this desolate land has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste, desolated and ruined cities are fortified and inhabited. That's exactly what happened for 2,000 years. Israel was a desolate wasteland, nothing but just maybe a few nomadic herders. Nobody lived there. There was nothing growing hardly. But here, it's like the Garden of Eden again. That's what it's like there today because God has blessed them. And then he says, son of man, God speaking to Ezekiel, can these bones live? So there's like a valley full of dry bones that Ezekiel sees in this vision. And here Ezekiel says, and I answered, Lord God, you yourself know. I love that answer. You know, God, I don't. And then God says, behold, I'm going to make breath enter you so that you may come to life. This is God speaking directly to Israel. Son of man, these bones are the entire house of Israel. So God tells them what these bones are. I will bring you into the land of Israel, God says. I will bring you into the land of Israel. I wanted to read that again because this is God speaking. So what happened in 1948? He brought the people of Israel from Europe mostly back into the land of Israel and into Russia, from Russia later on. They inhabited Israel. And then Africa, the Ethiopian Jews, they came up and they're in the land of Israel. And from Iraq and Saudi Arabia and Iran and all these other countries, the people of Israel came home to their father's land, like that prodigal son coming home, right? Isn't that beautiful? Now we're going to look at Ezekiel 38. This has never come about. This is something that has never happened in biblical history, in world history. It has never happened. That's why I believe this will be the next war that we see. So let's take a look at it. Ezekiel 38. Behold, I am against you, Gog, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. So Gog is not an area. This is a leader. This is a prince, the leader, the chief of this big evil army that's coming from Meshach and Tubal. So he's Gog of what? Magog, this area right here, which the historian Josephus called that area of Magog the area north of the Caspian Mountains, which is what? Area of Russia and some of these other countries surrounding it that are very anti-Semitic, by the way. So God speaks, he's talking about Magog, and he's going to name all these other countries coming against Israel. This is a future war, you guys. And God's going to see him through it. It's powerful. You got to stay to the end of this because you're going to see how God miraculously and powerfully, like the days of Moses, protects Israel. It's pretty awesome. It's very awesome. All right. So here are some of the other countries. Persia, Cush, and Put with them, all of them with buckler and helmet. Gomer with all of its troops. Speaking of this huge army, right? Persia being Iran, Cush and Put, all of them, those North African nations. And here we're seeing it again, right? Here's those countries, Persia, that area of Iran, right? Here's those other countries, very Muslim countries, by the way, today. Very Islamic, which is against Israel, as you know, watching the news. You should know that stuff. And Ezekiel 38 continues, and many days you will be summoned in the latter years. Look at that, the latter years, God says, speaking of not the end, but the latter years. And you will come into the land that is restored from the sword, right? The land of Israel, which have been gathered. They have been gathered from many nations to the mountains of Israel, which had been a continual place of ruins. We went over that already, right? But its people were brought out, God says, from the nations, and they are living securely. All of them, they are living securely. Why are you going to mess with my people, right? That's what God's basically telling them. And you will go up and you will come like a storm. You will be like a cloud covering the land. You know, I had friends that were in the Battle of Mogadishu in Somalia back in the 90s. I was in 3rd Ranger Battalion, and my friends in Bravo Company told me all about this big war. And they even told me about the two snipers, Gordon and Shugart, who were above this big battle in Mogadishu. They saw another Black Hawk crash land, and there was a survivor down there, and they could see what looked like a cloud of Somalis moving in on that crash site, armed and angry Somalis. They wanted blood. Those two guys volunteered. They went down there, and they rescued that pilot and hit him off, and they were the ones that absorbed the wrath of that crowd, which really speaks of what Jesus did for us. But that's what they saw. It was like a cloud of angry, armed Somalis coming in, or like the hornet's nest being disturbed, right? And it's like a cloud of hornets coming down. And that's how God describes this army. You will go up, you will come like a cloud, like a storm, excuse me, and will be like a cloud covering the land. So God gives a big picture of what it's like. And you and all your troops and many peoples with you. So here it is again. Magog is that land up in Russia. Gomer's parts of it could be parts of Germany. Right here we're seeing Turkey involved in it. Persia, which is Iran, and Put in Libya and Kush. But we don't see Saudi Arabia, the sons of Dedan, Sheba and Dedan. They're not coming against it. That happened in the war in 1948, right? We know that. We saw that happen in that war, which could be the fulfillment of Psalm 83, but Ezekiel 38 and 39 is something different. In fact, it says these countries are asking, why are you guys coming down against Israel? What are you doing? Are you after plunder? And even Jordan's not involved in this. And Egypt is not involved in this war, this Ezekiel 38, 39 war. It's something totally different. Okay, so let's continue on Ezekiel 38. You will come from your place out of the remote parts of the north. You and many peoples with you. So here's the question. Where are the remote parts of the north in reference to Israel, right? To Jerusalem. Straight up, it's Russia. Okay. The remotest part of the north from there is Russia and Persia and all these other countries. That's the main country that comes down against Israel in this Ezekiel 38 war. So that's what we're seeing, you guys. All right, so let's take a look at the rest of it here. So Ezekiel 38 continues, and you will come up against my people Israel like a cloud covering the land. He reemphasizes that. But it shall come about in the last days that I will bring you against my land. So who brings them on? Who's in charge here? God. God's always on the throne. He's always in charge. Nothing catches him by surprise. He wrote down this war before it even happened because he sees the future and he's in control of the future. So it shall come about, I'll bring you against my land, God says. It's the Father's land. And I love that reference. It is the Father's land, the land of Israel. It belongs to the Father God because he is that prodigal son's father who welcomes Israel home. That other brother was angry, right? He was jealous, right? We don't want to be that as a church. We don't want to be like, God, why are you saving Israel? We want to be rejoicing with him when he saves Israel, not with our arms crossed going, oh, you didn't throw a party like this for me. This son of yours comes home. We don't want to be like that. So let's go back. Let's check it out, guys. Okay. It was, and so that the nations may know, God says, me, when I show myself holy through you, speaking of about this enemy that he's about to destroy, before their eyes, Gog. So he's speaking to this leader again, right? Every man's sword will be against his brother. With plague and with blood, I will enter into judgment with him. And I will rain on him and on his troops and on the many peoples who are with him. What will he rain on them? A torrential rain, hailstones, fire and brimstone. Don't mess with God. If you're Hamas and you're listening, you better back off. If you're against Israel, you better back off because this is going to be bad for you. Hailstones, fire, and brimstone? This is what God's going to bring down on the enemies of Israel in this war? Whoa. So that's how God is, right? These dark clouds come, peals of thunder and lightning, and huge hailstones come down and destroy this army that comes down from the north against Israel. Brimstone, that's like big hailstones of fire, like he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. This is serious stuff. And God said, so I will prove myself great, show myself holy, and make myself known in the sight of many nations, right? And they will know that I am the Lord. They will know, God says, that I am the Lord. So this is beautiful. It's nothing to be afraid of because God wins. Guys, here's the thing. Revelation, here's a real quick summary of it. The good guys win, the bad guys lose. Jesus wins in the end. And if you're on his side, you win with him. If you belong to him, you win with him. You're either against him or you're for him. That's what he said. There's no middle ground. And we're starting to see that in this world. It's like everything's being divided. There's the people protesting for the Palestinians, for the Hamas, wanting Israel to be killed and gassed. And they're saying horrible things. They're with them. Or there's people saying, hey, leave Israel alone. It's wrong what's happening. This stuff was wrong. And Jesus loves Israel. You want to be on that side, my friend. You want to be on that side. So, hey, don't forget, hit this playlist right here. This is how to find Jesus in the Old Testament. You'll see lots of stuff like this, but you want to click on this playlist and you'll get a lot more. Right now we're doing Joseph, how Joseph was a huge picture and a type of Jesus. So check that one out for sure.